the theme for the retreat this weekend, and you know, I take time and I write this stuff up on our brochure every year, you know, on the back of it. And I don't know if some of you guys even looked at the back of the brochure and read that one, but I put, you know, hours of work into this thing to make it, you know, choose each word special so it sounds beautifully. And then, you know, someone goes, so what's the retreat about? I'm like, but the theme for the retreat this weekend is warrior songs. Warrior songs, which is really just a manly way of referring to the book of Psalms, because the Psalms are warrior songs, okay? The Psalms are songs from the hearts of men in relationship with their God. They're cries of anger and joy, confusion and certainty, fear and confidence, discouragement and hope, defeat and victory. They're the reachings of men into the spiritual realm, praying, worshiping, giving words to emotions that are not always easy for us to express. And through these warrior songs, the Psalms, we're going to learn who God is, who we are, and let the Psalms help us to express our hearts to God. So that's what it is. The theme for this weekend began months ago with an idea that I had kind of rattling around in my head of the warrior poet. I'm sure all of you guys have seen the movie Braveheart. Yeah. Okay. But William Wallace, the main character in the movie Braveheart, he was a warrior poet. At the end of the film, maybe some of you guys remember this, some of you don't, no problem. I'm going to refresh your memory. But at the very end of the film, Braveheart, these brave Scotsmen who fought against the tyranny of the English are described like this, and I quote, and this is what's on the screen at the end of the film. It says, "In the year of our Lord, 1314, patriots of Scotland, starving and outnumbered, charged the fields of Bannockburn. They fought like warrior poets. They fought like Scotsmen and won their freedom." You guys remember that? Well, the definition of a Christian warrior poet, I want to give you that, because it's not exactly the same. A Christian warrior poet is a man who lives in both the spiritual realm and the physical realm. He's a man who's engaged in battle on both the spiritual front and the physical front. He's a man who uses both his head and his heart. He's driven by both wisdom and passion. He's both a pragmatist and a romantic. That's a Christian warrior poet. And the most obvious example of a warrior poet in the Bible is David. He was one of Israel's greatest warriors, a fierce, courageous fighter, a wise tactician. He possessed tremendous faith and courage, amazing confidence in his God. And he also was literally a poet. He wrote about half the Psalms in the Bible. And he was also a talented and skilled musician. It's men like David, warrior poets, who God has a special interest in. They are not perfect men. They have their shortcomings just like every other man. But they have an unquenchable passion for their God, which is expressed through love and obedience and trust. David was known as what? A man after God's own heart. We too want to be known as men after God's own heart. We want to be known as warrior poets. The greatest warrior poet was Jesus Christ himself. So, warrior poets. We're going to look at the poems in the Bible this weekend. I want to give you an introduction to Psalms, just to kind of help you guys know what the Psalms are, really, before we get into some of these. But what are the Psalms? They are poems which are intended to be sung. Virtually all song lyrics are poems, which are then put to music. So you take a song you like, the lyric is a poem. And the Psalms are similar. They can function both as poems to be read and meditated upon, and they can also be songs that are sung. This weekend, we're going to do both with the Psalms. We will be reading and meditating on these poems, and we are also going to be singing some of them. We've already been singing some of them tonight. And I asked Mike and the others when he was choosing the songs that we would sing this weekend to try to pay particular attention to choose stuff that had parts of the Psalms in them so that we would actually be singing these Psalms too, okay? In the Psalms, we have a full range of human emotions and experiences expressed in poetic form. These expressions can help us as we try to express ourselves to the Lord too. We're men, and men in general, we have a little harder time finding the words to wrap around the emotions that we have, don't we? I mean, we have as many emotions as women do. We just don't know how to describe them, put words to them a lot of times. But we're very deep rivers, aren't we? In spite of what we're accused of sometimes. We're accused of being real shallow, little mud puddles out on the pavement, but silence runs deep. And I know you guys are deep. We all are. And in the Psalms, we can also hear the voice of God speaking to us, expressing himself to us. We can see the Psalms as, conversations of the heart, really, between God's men and him, as they're having a conversation with God in the Psalms. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it's my hope that for all of us, that our love for the Lord is going to grow as we study these expressions of love that we find in the Psalms this weekend. The book of Psalms is the largest book in the Bible, and it's actually the largest collection of ancient lyrical poetry in existence. There are a total of 150 Psalms in the book. As I said earlier, David wrote about half of those. The other half were written by a number of different people, everybody from Moses to his son Solomon and Asaph and the sons of Korah. Although the book of Psalms is broken into five divisions or books, some of your Bibles will notice that. It'll say book one, and in book two, book three, there's five divisions. There's really little apparent rhyme or reason about the order or why different Psalms are in different divisions. We can't really detect a whole lot of interrelationship between Psalms that are sitting right next to each other. So in other words, we shouldn't look to the Psalms like they are chapters in a book. They're not. They're each individual units themselves. So if you're looking for interdependence, you'll get frustrated. They're not like a book in that way. This also means that it's perfectly acceptable in this one rare occasion of all the Bible books to skip around in the Psalms. You can read Psalms out of order, because they're not connected like chapters in a book, okay? Now, other books of the Bible, that's a very bad way to read them. But the Psalms, on the other hand, is a completely different animal because of that. In our own look at Psalms this weekend, we're going to be grouping various Psalms together by topics and themes rather than looking at them in sequential order. In our first session tonight, we'll be looking at some of the Psalms which talk about entering into the Lord's presence. And then tomorrow morning, we're going to be looking at Psalms of lament, crying out to the Lord, and how God hears our cry and he rescues us. And then tomorrow evening, Hal will be doing the teaching. We'll be looking at Psalms that deal with confessing our sin to the Lord, repenting, and how the Lord forgives and restores us. And then Sunday morning, we'll be looking at Psalms of praise and thanksgiving, okay? Now, there's going to be some overlap in these themes. a single psalm will have several of these themes oftentimes. So we won't always necessarily look at a whole entire psalm as we go through a particular thing. We might just look at a piece of a psalm that deals with the theme that we're talking about. A couple or a few quotes about poetry in general, which are also true about the psalms, that I want to share with you. And I've shared some of these before, but I like poetry. I can't write poetry, but I really appreciate it. Good poetry, to be able to slow down, read it. You have to read it very slowly, and you need to think and wrestle with each word. But poetry, well-written poetry, is really a very amazing kind of literature and human expression. Because there's so much said in so little. And there's so much power in there. And there is a freedom of emotion and imagination that is allowed in poetry that you don't encounter in any other kind of literature. Because you're allowed to read between the lines and let your own mind fill some of that stuff in. And so what happens is where your heart's at and what God's doing with you, you get to kind of walk along in this thing. And it's like this new world is created as you are walking through the poem. So it's very interesting. Thomas Gary said, "Poetry is thoughts that breathe and words that burn." That's a beautiful piece of poetry in itself, see? I mean, you think about that. Poetry is thoughts that breathe and words that burn. Voltaire said, "Poetry is the music of the soul, and above all, of great and feeling souls." T.S. Eliot, a great poet himself, said, and a Christian, by the way, said, "Genuine poetry can communicate before it is understood." Genuine poetry can communicate before it's understood. I mean, I don't know if you've read much poetry, but sometimes I'll read a poem and I don't quite get it, but it's already speaking to my heart and my mind. It's already taking me somewhere. And that's part of the power of poetry. Robert Frost, famous poet, he said, "A poem begins with a lump in the throat." A poem begins with a lump in the throat. So there are a set of psalms known as the Songs of Ascent. They were songs that the Jewish pilgrims would sing as they were making their way up the mountain to the city of Jerusalem, to the temple in the city of Jerusalem, to celebrate the annual feasts, that all the pilgrims from all over Israel would travel to the city of Jerusalem. And if you remember, Jerusalem is up on a hill. It was a great fortress city. And all great fortress cities were built on high places, you know, so you could have the high ground against your enemy. And this is where Jerusalem was. And so as these pilgrims would make their way up these switchback paths to the city of Jerusalem on the mountain, and the temple was there, and as they're looking, they can see the spires of the temple, those glistening white stones, the gold leaf. And as they're making their way up there, these psalms, these songs of ascent, are the ones that they sang with each other as they're on their journey. That's why they call them the songs of ascent. And those are the ones we're going to be looking at tonight. Because can there be a more obvious connection for us to begin our weekend than these songs of ascent? You see, we too have ascended the mountain, haven't we? Literally, to meet with God, just like they would ascend the mountain to meet with God at the temple. So these songs of ascent are clearly the perfect way for us to begin our weekend as we have ascended the mountain. We have ascended to meet with Him, to have fellowship with Him and with one another. These songs of ascent are Psalms 120 through 134. If any of you guys are taking notes or interested in that. And we're going to read some of these tonight. That's what we're going to do as we are preparing our hearts really for the rest of the weekend and what the Lord is going to do in our lives. And I want to begin with Psalm 122. And it's probably good for you to have a Bible as we do these Psalms this weekend. The reason is because we're reading the Psalms, and these are poems, and it helps us to get our head around it when we're able to see the words. There's this, you know, extra connection that takes place when you can visually see the words and you hear the words. I mean, how many times as I'm reading, you're like going, But if you're reading with it, you know, your eyes are involved too, and so you start to get it. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version myself this weekend, and some of you guys have that particular version, some of you don't. If you do, it'll be very helpful for you. You can, if you got your smartphone or whatever too, it might be, you know, something that you have. But so let's begin with Psalm 122, and I just want to read the first two verses of this psalm. It says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. You guys recognize those words, don't you? We sing those words. It says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. We sing that, don't we? Some of you guys remember that song? I was glad when they said. It's a beautiful expression of anticipation and excitement to be with the Lord. Picture these pilgrims, they're all together and they're singing. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. And they're on their way. Let's go to Psalm 133. Because this is the other part of it. We've come here to meet with God, but we've also come here to be with each other. So 133, it says, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It's like the precious oil on the beard running down on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. They're describing the way that the priest would be anointed with oil. And this oil that was anointed was symbolic of God, the Holy Spirit coming upon you. And this was a beautiful thing. I mean, it's not like motor oil. This is this beautifully fragrant oil. It's got this delicious cinnamon scent to it. And this comes and it's anointing your head and it's running down over his beard like this and then onto the collar of his robes. He goes, that's what dwelling with my brothers in unity is like. It's like this delicious oil that comes and it slowly runs down onto my head and my beard and my collars of this robe. And it's this presence of God and this sweet aroma, this thing that lifts your heart. He says it's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. So he thinks about Hermon. It always had those snow caps, kind of like those snowy capped mountains that we saw today as we're coming up here and all around us. It's a symbol of the refreshing presence of God, his nourishment, and the way that that comes in, it would bring that dew to the whole land. And it's like God's presence, you know. He comes and he waters, he satisfies the thirst of our soul. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So it says, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Let's take a look at Psalm 123. He writes, to you I lift up my eyes. He's talking to God. To you, God, I lift up my eyes. O you who are enthroned in the heavens, behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us. For we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. The psalmist is crying out for mercy from God. But the thing that I think is interesting is it says, we have had enough of contempt. Our souls have had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. What I hear in that is, as these pilgrims are headed up to the temple, they're saying, we want you, Lord, and we're leaving all of that stuff from the world behind. We've had enough of the contempt of the proud, the arrogant. We want you, Lord. We've had enough of this stuff. Psalm 124 says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. If it had not been the Lord on our side, we would have been swept away. Yeah. And when we read about enemies in the Psalms this weekend, I want you to plug into that. The face of your enemies is not people that you hate, but it's the enemies of our soul. You know, we have spiritual warfare that we're faced with. Satan attacks us. We also have temptations coming against us. We have the cultural onslaught of the world around us, you know. In every form of media that comes against us, anything and everything is seeking to draw us away from the Lord and to turn our allegiance from him. He's really an enemy in that sense, okay? So if it had not been for the Lord on our side, we would have been swept away by our enemies. But he's on our side. And that's why we're still here. It's not our own umption and gumption, courage and orneriness. If it had been up to us, we'd have bailed a long time ago, huh? He says, blessed be the Lord, who's not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we've escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Psalm 125, first couple of verses there. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Hear those words. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. So we have a beautiful picture right here where we're at as the mountains surround Jerusalem. Right out there. As the mountains are surrounding us right now, that's how the Lord surrounds his people, protects them. That power and strength and majesty. It's God around his people. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. They're unmoved. And finally, Psalm 134. It says, come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. And may the Lord bless you, he who made heaven and earth.